shit show. It's a fucking shit show.
Welcome back to Shit Show Saturday. It's so Saturday, folks. How we doing, peeps? How we doing, my shit show party peeps? So today you're gonna get to hear our group from this Thursday's Shit Show Saturday. But first, I have two important announcements for you, okay? Number one, on Wednesday, November 13th at 7 p.m. Eastern, I am hosting a workshop with Boundaries coach Barb Nangle, our Boundaries badass Barb. And it is called Stop Overgiving, Repair Your Life from the Inside Out. And now Barb's going to tell you what this is all about.
If you're feeling overwhelmed because you're constantly giving to others and neglecting yourself, I get it. That was me for 50 plus years. If you're over it and just can't do it anymore, I hear you. If you long for authentic self-expression but are afraid of what others think, I get that too. Hi, I'm Barb Nangle, fellow recovering shit show and boundaries coach. I'm going to be doing a workshop for Andrea's community. It's called Stop Overgiving, Repair Your Life from the Inside Out. Learn the secret to balanced relationships by repairing your life from the inside out. You'll learn what the fuck a boundary is, why we need them, when and where to set them, as well as how to set and uphold them.
So this is available to anyone. People at the super shit show level will get this for free. Regular shit show members will get this at a discounted price. For you non-shit show members, I will be doing an early bird special. Anyone who joins the shit show between now and October 31st will get this workshop for free. So go see the link in the show notes. And number two. So I mentioned a few weeks ago that I was going to be opening up one of our support groups, one of the shit show support groups for non-members, for anyone interested in seeing truly behind the curtains, truly seeing what's going on in these meetings, because you only really get a taste of these groups in what I share in these shit show Saturday episodes. You're just getting a taste. So it's going to be this Thursday, October 24th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern and 5:30 p.m. Pacific. So on Sunday morning, I will be sending out an email, which you will receive if you're subscribed to my newsletter. If you're not subscribed, go in the show notes and you'll see the link to join. And then the first eight people, I think it's just better to limit it, especially for the first time we're doing this. The first eight people who respond to me will get to attend the group. There are just two ground rules in order to maintain the safety of the group, which is one, you got to have your camera on for the whole meeting. And two, you need to have your first real name displayed in the name section of Zoom during the meeting. So go in the show notes, sign up for my newsletter if you haven't already, and expect an email on Sunday morning. So let's get on with the damn show. You know the deal. Give me a follow on the Insta, on the TikTok, at Adult Shod Pod. Also too, I never say this, but I have a YouTube channel. Go subscribe to my YouTube channel. You can also find that in the show notes. And please, whatever you do, I beg of thee to give me a 5-star rating on Apple on Spodcast. I just said Spodcast. Is it going to be Spodcast from now on? Is Spodcast going to be the new damn to join? Spotify. Thank you. Love you all.
They say that I should damn the join shit show. They say that that's where people go to heal. They say that I'll feel seen and heard like I have never felt before. So I'm going to damn the joint right now.
Healing. There is no healing without feeling. For so many of us, we learn to feel helpless and even hopeless, like giving up was the only intelligent way to endure our childhoods. This hopelessness is part of what feeds the depression we experience as adults. It may seem paradoxical, but in ACA, we learn that we need to experience our grief in order to alleviate our depression. It may only be through firsthand experience that we can understand how this works. There is a difference between the stagnant quality of hopelessness and the flowing quality of grief work. The former seems like a permanent state. It drags us down and makes us feel like there's no way out. The latter seems more like a temporary phase on the way to acceptance and peace. One never seems to say goodbye, while the other is about the courage to say goodbye to the losses we've sustained and all the things we cannot change. The thought of doing grief work, of feeling the pain of our past, may seem daunting, but in ACA, we come to know that this is the balm that heals our ruptured souls. On this day, I have the courage to grieve my past in order to say hello to the present and the future. I want to share about my IFS session that I had today. So first, I want to just say, and I'm sure others can relate to this, I have a part that thinks that we can't heal. I have a part that thinks that I am inherently flawed and unfixable, and that when we sit down to do IFS work, that I'm not going to be able to connect to anything. I'm just going to have to make something up in my head, and I'm not going to be able to connect to these parts in the ways that everybody else is able to, because I'm terminally fucked up and unfixable. So at first I was connecting to just the energy that I feel in my legs. And what came to me was, this is the way it's always been. And I was thinking like this, I think I'm just making this up. I think that this is just something that is coming up in my head. But where it ended up taking me was to a place of carried shame, the legacy burden of the women in my family, and making the connection between, you know, I've had this feeling inside of me that I need to find a relationship in order to be taken care of, this belief that I can't take care of myself. But what I connected to was like a belief that like, I have to stay fucked up. Like only other people that are fucked up will want to love me and take care of me. I have to stay small and fucked up. And I really connected to my dad's mom, who very similar personality as me, very funny, very outspoken, no filter. And she was in a marriage with a man that she never loved. She was in a marriage where she never felt loved. And I look at my mom who stayed small and sick. That's the way that it comes across. I have to stay fucked up. I have to stay small. I can't live in my power. I can't take care of myself. It was really, I don't know. I feel like I was able to connect to something and understand things in a way that I hadn't really understood before. I've been having a hard time understanding, like, why am I not living to my full potential? And not really making the connection between that and this belief I'm carrying from generations. And I just feel sad for the women in my family who've had to spend their lives like that, playing small. I have so much shame about just how little I've been able to move forward in certain areas of my life for a long time, and just not understanding, what is the connection? Like, what is it that's holding me back? What is it? And so I'm really hopeful that this is a piece of the puzzle that can help me move forward and not be so stagnant. Growth is slow. Recovery is slow. Healing is slow. So yeah, I'm just grateful for all of you. There's a lot of shame, but I'm trying to like show myself some compassion. And I guess it is a little bit freeing to know that it's like not me, you know, not mine. So I really hope that I can release it. So doors open.
So it's not ironic. It's pretty amazing. I was asked to share tonight in my other fellow, you know, in my fellowship. And I haven't shared at a meeting in a really long time. And it was a meeting I used to go to a lot. I haven't been there probably in like a year and a half. And they asked me to share on step 11, which I did. And I saw an old sponsee of mine there who lost her father a couple months ago. And I haven't seen her other than social media. And I went over and I gave her a hug and she was crying. And her exact words were, feeling is healing. And I'm like, oh, wow. Like I'm listening to, we're doing this reading. And I just walked away from somebody who was grieving the loss of her dad and talking about her codependence and crying her eyes out and telling me that when saying healing is feeling. So I thought that was really interesting. And also, I have to say that this group has helped me so much, and this work has helped me so much in the past year or so, because I've stepped away a little bit from my other meetings. I still go to them, but I don't go to as many, and I'm not as involved as I used to be because I'm a lot more involved in this. But I have to say that I need that. Okay, I'm not, I don't want anyone to misinterpret. Like, I need that, and I have 11 years in that program, so it saved my life, and it still does every single day, and I don't ever want to forget that. But what I'm sharing here right now is that when I shared tonight, I had none of the feelings of anxiety that I used to have. I didn't have to think about anything I said. I was so authentically myself. I felt so comfortable in my own skin. And I have a lot of work to do, and I know that. And this is a painful process. I had therapy this afternoon and spent 45 minutes talking about some things that were very painful. So it's been a day. But to be able to go and spend some time there and just feel so super comfortable and authentically myself, and that's all because of this. That's all because of this. And I bring it back to what was always missing for me, what I'm learning here through this process. Unfortunately, I'm not doing the IFS just because I'm not able to financially do like IFS like you are doing it. We touch on IFS in my therapy, and I'm working with a therapist, but not the way, not like that. But I have to say that what I've learned more than anything here, which is helping me so much, is self-compassion. And we talk about self-compassion and compassion for all of our parts, and it's working. Doesn't work every day. There are days when I beat myself up. There are days when I say I should be something I'm not, or I should be farther along. But for the most part, I can really have compassion for the parts of me that are showing up. And I just want to say thank you because I feel so super grateful right now to have come from there and then to come here and know that based on what we just read. It's all connected. Like I didn't need any other sign, So thank you.
Yeah, it's so interesting the just ha like the weird connections of just like you talking about your mom. I'm in a really interesting spot with my mom, and then the guy on the podcast too. That whole mom thing was really interesting to listen to, and just like the person who is the abuser. It's like, yeah, that fucking person's unhinged. Like that motherfucker was crazy. But then the gaslighting and all that stuff that the other person does is kind of the part that really like sticks with you and just doesn't ever like really go away. And I've just spent so much of my life just kind of like in my brain, like trying to like kind of figure it all out. And then so I got on Wellbutrin. And so this is even a brain thing too, though, because it's maybe I'm not actually feeling this. Like maybe it's just the Wellbutrin or whatever. But it's I have had this experience over the past couple weeks where, and it's kind of IFSE too, though, because my therapist would be like, "Well, that's a part," and I'm like, "No shit, it's a part." But I don't know what you want. I don't understand what that means. So because I would kind of come with a thing, and she'd be like, "Well, that's a part." And it's a little, I don't like, no shit. But I think part what I am finding is that it's like all of the overthinking and all of the analyzing and all of the mental gymnastics of trying to figure out like what the fuck happened. And like my dad's been dead for 25 years, my mom's still around, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, but it's and going to the wedding and just all of this stuff. But I have in the past couple weeks had this sense of I do have a self that doesn't need to do anything. I don't need to like read more books or drink more water or fucking walk or do this. I just have to get myself quiet and listen to myself. Because those that the, that self is the self that has the parts. And so, and I've never been able to do that before. Like going to the wedding and being like, oh yeah, that's my 17-year-old, or oh yeah, that's my 3-year-old. Like, I never have spoken those things from a centralized self. And I don't know really how, like, my therapist is not an IFS therapist, but it to me, it just feels, and I'm trying to not be so black and white, but it feels like everything kind of had to come online, like almost at the same time. Like myself and my like parent, like my loving parent kind of came at the same time. And then like my 17-year-old and my inner toddler, like everything had to appear at the same time. And the last part to show up was like my actual self, like in the present, I guess, if that makes sense. I don't know. Clearly I'm tripping out, but it's just been such a fucking mind fuck just to be able, like, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to make any plans. Like, I'm not doing anything. Like, I just have to listen to like my little part of me that will tell me the thing to do, because I can get so fucking in my head. And the mom thing is just, I can't even start. I can't even go there. It's just, it's too much. Like, I can't even. I'm going to let my sister do it and then I'll just see what she says about it. But anyway, all right. Thank you.
Hi, Chrissy. I know you feel like you just sounded crazy, but you didn't at all. You just articulated so many things that my brain has been sorting out, I have to say. I took sort of a break from coming to this group because I needed a break from, I don't know, I just needed a break from like input, and not from all of you, but just like all of the books I should read, or the podcasts I should listen to, or the exercises I should do. I just was feeling like that was distracting me from getting to the core of it. And my marriage fell apart, and I discovered with my therapist's help that like my husband is actually a covert narcissist, and it's been 25 years of narcissistic abuse. And like, I have no idea who I am. I don't know what I like. I don't know any of that. And like, my experience as a child growing up in my house with my parents for so long, I thought that was like the core of all my problems. But it's really just like, that just started me rolling down the hill. And then the snowball got bigger and bigger and bigger. And I kept making choices and not healing what I needed to heal in different relationships. And now here I am, finally, after 25 years of marriage, going, okay, nothing's healed. It's actually worse. And I guess what I'm trying to say, I kind of like lost my train of thought, but that idea of like, I don't actually need to do anything better. I feel like I've finally landed where I'm going to be able to figure out who I am, what I like, what I need, what I want, where I'm going, and heal all those things. But it also involves this horribly, horribly new lowest bottom, where today was a good day. Oops, sorry. But like, I've been so depressed. I don't think I've ever felt as depressed as and lost. And like, how am I 48 and I don't know anything about myself, and I can't get out of bed, and how is this going to get better? And I just like, well, I'll wake up tomorrow and maybe it'll be different. And then it is. And then like Christy, you were saying, okay, well, what does myself want to do today? I guess we're going to drink some water, try to eat some chicken. That was disgusting. Bake some muffins. Hey, I remembered I like baking. That's cool. Wrote that down. So I just feel like I landed on this planet. And it's depressing, and I'm all alone, and I'm afraid everyone around me is a narcissist. But hey, I remembered I like baking. That's cool. So no, Christy, I don't know if I'm making any sense, but everything you said sort of helped me organize my thoughts. Of I've been feeling like my energy is all over the place, trying to heal and trying to do this and find all these resources to do it the right way and break generational curses. And then my inner self is just like, how about we just bake some muffins and like see how the day goes? So again, I don't know if that made any sense, but sometimes when I just share what is on my mind, it helps me, and hopefully it helps somebody else. But yeah, that's me. Thanks.
Okay, shitshow dudes, you can tune out. This is for my fellow shitshow ladies. Are you going through perimenopause or menopause? I'm not quite there yet, but I know that I have plenty to look forward to. Feeling like a wet sock driving down the highway. Night sweats. Poor sleep. Feeling tired all the time. Bloating. Gas. Man, can't wait for this shit. Now, if that is applicable to you, then you have to try Hormone Harmony. So Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 fucking seconds, okay? Now, Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work. Now, for my younger shitshow women like myself, if you struggle from that vicious week before your period, you want to crawl out of your skin, experience cravings, want to eat everything in the damn house, you feel a little bit down or off, well, Happy Mammoth also has a product for you to make it easier to manage your PMS with their Estro Control. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code adultchild at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code adultchild for 15% off today.
Do you shit shows ever feel like you're just too damn busy to eat healthy? So I used to feel this way. Every day I would wake up with the intention of eating clean, and before you know it, it's 10:30 p.m., I'm in my bed, and I'm eating smart food popcorn. That is, until I found the perfect solution. Meal kits from Sunbasket. No matter what your lifestyle is, Sunbasket caters to your kind of healthy. Every single recipe is shit show proof, so pre-measured, pre-proportioned, easy to prepare. I most recently made the seared Alaskan halibut with mashed potatoes and herb brown butter parmesan sauce, and it was damn good. And for you shit shows out there who only know how to work a microwave, Sunbasket also has pre-made meals that are ready to eat in less than 5 minutes. No prep, no mess. So go to sunbasket.com/adultchild today to save $120 off your first four deliveries. That is sunbasket.com/adultchild to save $120 across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your very first order.
Everyone always makes sense, just so you know. Everyone always makes sense. Go ahead, Leslie. Rabbi.
So the grief work is really a struggle for me. I've done the yellow workbook. I'm on my second time through, and all the charts and lists for the first step, I really uncovered a lot of things that I'm grieving that I wasn't consciously aware of. And it was really interesting. So it was like a intellectual exercise, like grieving my marriage, grieving the loss of my dad, grieving the mother I never had, grieving that my relationship with my son isn't exactly where I would like it to be, grieving the generational trauma. And it helps me to be less reactive. Like Christy was saying, when I feel myself getting reactive, I can see where it's coming from, what historical wound is being triggered. Yet I haven't been able, like, to cry. I don't cry. I don't journal. And I don't know if that will come, if I just need to let the process continue, if I need to explore what sort of resistance I have to finishing the process. It's like I put in the chat, you know, uncovering things is a first step. So I've uncovered all the grief, but I haven't worked it through. And maybe I'm afraid. But one thing I noticed for a while now, when I lie down to go to sleep, tears start coming out the corner of both of my eyes. And I don't know if it's just like a physiologic positional thing, because I'm not thinking of anything sad or particular. It's just I put my head on the pillow and tears just start streaming. So I'll just sit with that and take it for what it is. And maybe I'll come back to you when I have it all figured out. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Leslie. Josh?
Howdy, strangers. I've been trying to, you know, heal myself for a long time since college, been on that journey. And I think really just recently, I was listening to a podcast in the past year. Like, I went into like a deep dive into IFS and parts work over the last probably 2 years. And like, I noticed this past year that I was really trying to like force things. And I think part of that was being aware of parts and parts being aware of parts. And it was just like, I was so in my own head, so deep that it was like fracturing me. And it felt like I was getting in like more dissociative every time I tried to do parts work on myself. And it was like this inward paranoia. And I think I was just like, man, like, and I'm just like, fuck, like I need to just stop. I need to just take a break and stop trying to force my healing. You know, I could find parts of language for that, but whatever. And I was just like, I just need to stop. I just need to stop thinking like that and just take a break. And I think I was able to give myself that permission because there was an IFS practitioner that said that she had to take a break from doing parts work because it was putting her in not a good place. So I was like, okay, like I can, I can take a break. And I think just, I stopped trying to force my own healing and just like try to enjoy things, like trying to like enjoy my life and do things I like to do and not feel bad about it. And I think a part of me really pushed back against, and even like spending time with God, because I think a lot of that was shame driven. But it's like, as I've started to just stop forcing myself to do things out of like this duty or discipline or like fear of the reactions of that not happening, I'm just noticing there's just have been a few instances just this week where I said something to a friend, it even happened today, and I felt like a visceral release in my body, and I was like able to like enjoy a conversation, which is very rare for me because I feel super numb these days and have for a long time. And that was the main like trauma for me, I think, as I look back on my life, is like not being able to enjoy my life because my sensations have been so dulled because I had so much grief and pain that like my body just shut down sensation. And so like I'm actually able to like, it feels like I have like sparks of life just kind of popping up, you know. I'm just like, oh, I get so excited because I'm like, I can feel my body again. Like I can feel like joy again. I can feel like hope in that. And I know, I think there's probably a part of me that's like, all right, like we got to manufacture this shit so we can have more of it. Cause I think my brain is so used to working so hard to get me out of this space that it doesn't know how to just relax and just enjoy life. And so I'm trying to not force things and just like not be like a passive observer in my life, but just let life happen and not try to work so hard to force my healing process or force joy. Or just force things in general. So it's really cool. I think for the longest, I was like, there's all these things I have to do to have the life I want. And I'm just like, you know, maybe I don't have to work that hard. And maybe working harder and forcing things is actually causing more of an issue.
So good to see you all. A while back, I was talking to my sponsor. And I got going like I do. And I was just like, well, what if this happens? And then, well, what if it? And then, and then what if this happens? And he was like, stop. You just said, what if? Like 6 times in 30 seconds, maybe hold your horses. And I was like, valid point. And I do that kind of a lot. And it's always like a very negative thing. It's like the last week we talked about like hypervigilance and that need to constantly think of like, what if this bad thing happens? And what if this, to prepare yourself, because we think that if we prepare for it, it's not going to be as bad when it happens. Which is totally not fucking true. It's still going to be bad. We just traumatize ourselves twice. So easier said than done to not do that though. But what I've been thinking about tonight is what if we're positive things? Like we're talking about generational trauma, and we were talking at my AC meeting on Saturday about It Didn't Start With You, which is a phenomenal book about like generational trauma and stuff. And we're talking, and I've had this thought come up before of like my ancestors that I don't fucking know who they are. They're people before me. But what if my ancestors were really fucking proud of me, which is crazy. Cause in my mind, I'm a total fuck up. Like they're so upset that like, this is the life I'm choosing to live or whatever. But what if they're really proud? And what if they are so glad and proud of me that I'm getting to do the healing that they never could? Because they were dealing with like war and famine and leaving the old country and they're chopping off everyone's heads today. So it's a thing. And what if they feel relieved that I'm getting to do this? And it's not like a pressure thing, like I feel the burden of this on me, but it's a beautiful, it really is, of what if they are extremely proud of me? What if rather than thinking like I'm a total fuck up and they're mad that I turned out gay, what if a bunch of my ancestors were gay and they never could be, so they had kids? And I know that's a stupid, silly thought, but like, what if they're so fucking proud of me and that what if is so different, a positive thing? And I don't know, the narrative I'm playing right now is that I've been avoiding calling my mom because I do that a lot. Avoidance is like top thing for me. And I'm what ifing it of what if I'm not avoiding it? And what if I'm learning to allow myself that I don't have to do what I used to do over and over again, because I'd feel this tension building. And I know the best way to deal with it is to bite the bullet, call my mom, take it, whatever happens, deal with the bullshit, disassociate, fucking deal with it. And what if I'm okay that we're okay without me calling? Like that little perfectionist boy in me doesn't have to fix mom right now. Like she's okay. I don't know if she's okay, but I'm gonna choose to believe that like she's okay and doing her own thing, and that's none of my fucking business. I don't have that burden of needing to make sure that mom's okay, which I grew up with. And it makes sense that that narrative plays in me because that history has been so prevalent. Like it's always been there that I need to make sure she's okay. And I will swallow my feelings and I will bite the bullet and do whatever it fucking takes to do it. And what if that's not true? And what if it's okay that I'm just being me? What if it's okay that I'm focusing right now on my transition right now? For the first time, not scared that I don't know what's going on with my life, but it's all good stuff. Like I heard someone say, you know, we talk about the wreckage of our past, and it's like, I'm not having to deal with the wreckage of my present. And I love that because it's, I'm not doing that shit as much anymore. Like, yeah, I'm doing it sometimes, but so much less than I used to. And last week I celebrated 3 years in Sex and Love Addicts, which is just such a gift to have that paired with my AA and then top it off with ACA, because they all work together. I couldn't do any of them without the other. Like I need to be sober to deal with this, and I need to not be like fucking around and jumping from boyfriend to boyfriend. And I'm not doing that today. I don't even want that. I don't yearn for it. I'm not like begging for it. I'm not like, God, if only you would send me a boy. Like a boy would be a hassle right now. I don't want that. I want to be with me. I'm proud of the work that I'm doing right now of choosing to love myself better. Not perfectly. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but I'm doing it better than I used to. And that constant need for that external validation isn't fixed, but it's so much less than it used to be. It's not like at the forefront of my brain at all times. And I think that's what I'm feeling about grief right now, is that I know it's there, but it's not like right in front of my face and like suffocating me. And I felt that so many times, like a few months ago here in these rooms, like having to deal with that. And right now I can be grateful that it's not suffocating me, but I also don't have to like avoid it or fear it or run away. I can know that it's there and choose to dig into it, like with my feet firmly planted on the ground, with me being grounded in spirit, knowing that like I can look at some of these really hard things that before, when I was drinking and doing all sorts of shit, like I had no chance to look at this. There was no healing, there was no growth, there was no future, there was no anything. And like today there's so much hope, and that's all recovery right there. If you're struggling with whatever kind of recovery you're in or doing right now, just know that it's possible and it's really fucking worth it. It is really hard. But how hard it is, it just makes it that much more worth it to do the work and show up and be and talk and share and love and be authentic and real. And I thought I knew what that was when I was a kid. I thought I was showing up authentically. Like I didn't fucking know any better. But like today I can see that I am doing it. And that does come with me fucking up some of it, because I don't have a great history with it. But I get to choose every day to do it differently, and not know the future and not know what's going to happen, and be okay that right now, just for today, just for right now, I'm going to choose to be as recovered as I can be and love myself. That's it. And what if that's enough? Thanks, y'all.
That's my Julia.
Hi.
Hi. I'm glad that you feel comfortable to share.
Yeah, I've been listening to the podcast for a while now, and I finally joined. So I'm excited to be here. Yeah, I think there's such the word that like it's, that keeps coming to me during everyone's shares is just acceptance and just accepting where you are, you know, and accepting things for what they are and accepting the way that you're feeling. And it's okay if you're not okay. You don't have to be okay all the time. And it's okay to break down. It's in fact incredibly healthy to break down. It's good to feel your feelings. It's okay if things are not going your way. It's okay if people are being bitchy. And it's okay if, because what else are you going to do? And my therapist, he always says, who do you want to become? And you have to live your life being the person that you want to become. And it's almost like you can even fake it till you make it. But I've been doing it for a little while now. And my anxiety, like, oh, I have the worst anxiety. I'm on like so many medications for it. And I still feel it. You know, it's one of those things that just doesn't go away for me. And recently, like, I'm sitting there and my dad's the alcoholic in my family. And he was verbally and mentally abusive to me and my siblings. And it was an awful childhood. And I had my best friend get hit and killed by a drunk driver. I had my brothers at a school shooting before. Thank God they're okay. I've had all these things happen. And throughout all of it, like, what are you going to do? You just have to accept it. You have to have acceptance for what things are and the way they are and know that it's okay to grieve it. And it's okay to feel it. And it's okay to grieve the child that you want, childhood that you wanted to have. And it's okay to grieve the fact that you wanted different parents when you were younger. And it just, we're so hard on ourselves. We're so hard on ourselves about who we should be or need to be or who other people are. And it's like, let's just accept people for who they are. And I have this incredible relationship with my father today because I've accepted the fact that he's a dick. And that's that. And I've accepted the fact that he's going to say the wrong thing and he's going to be an asshole sometimes. But you know what? I love him because he's my father. And you know, if he's sober or not sober, I love him. If he's sober, I can have a relationship with him. And if he's not, then I don't. And that is my own boundary that I've created for myself, for my own sanity, because I know that when he's in my life and he's using, that is what I'm obsessing over, no matter what. We don't even live together, but I'll be thinking about that all the time. And so for me, I'm like, it's none of my business. What he's doing is none of my business anymore. And just sitting in gratitude, because thank God that we're here today. And thank God that there's a roof over our heads. And thank God that there's food on our plates. And I know those like seem like such simple things, but to some people, that's everything. And you're supposed to struggle to heal. It's supposed to be hard. It's not supposed to be easy, but it's supposed to be possible. And I'll let you know that I am not the same person I was 4 years ago. You know, 2021, that was my last major suicide attempt. And I haven't had one since then. And I've been on this incredible healing journey and just crying all the time and knowing that it's okay. And I'm just letting myself have those feelings because I'm allowed those. That's my right to feel those. And my parents can't take that away from me anymore. So that's what I have to share. Thank you.